Hour number three of Sports 180 begins. Thank you for being with us on this Monday afternoon. We continue in Maryville. We are at the Easy Stop on Hunt Road. We'll be here until 3, giving you a chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart. We have it with us. You can see it for yourself. You can give yourself a chance to win it. Stop by and sign up. Just takes a minute, and you will be in the drawing. We'll draw two qualifiers at the end of the hour for the grand prize drawing, the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart at the Easy Stop on Hunt Road in Maryville. And joining us from Hoover, Alabama, is Eric Kane of the Sports Animal, covering what's going on down there over the next 4 days. Eric, we appreciate the time. What have you learned so far today with Commissioner Greg Sankey speaking on behalf of the SEC, plus today Florida, LSU, and South Carolina are there?
Yeah, guys, good afternoon. Florida's second to the podium right now, kind of just getting underway. Dan Mullen just wrapped up, and excited for another year, excited to see his team. He was asked about postseason opt-outs, and he noted the two previous seasons he was there that nobody opted out postseason for those bowl games. But obviously, last year was a little bit of a weird year with 2020. But overall, a lot of good things to say about his club. There's some players talking right now. But Greg Sankey came out there and went over a number of stuff earlier. A couple of notes that I took down. In terms of COVID vaccination, he said 43% of the SEC football teams, that means 6 of the 14 teams, have hit the 80% threshold for COVID vaccination. He said that has got to climb up. And so that was kind of one of my big takeaways. He also had some things to say about the transfer portal and said that over 1,600 scholarship athletes entered the portal and over 1,100 remain there. And he said that we have a responsibility to dig deeper. We have to understand the impacts of our decision-making. And some more other stuff there. So those are kind of the highlights there. And, of course, Greg Sankey opened things up. And Florida second to it now. And South Carolina, LSU will be back here later this afternoon.
So, Kaner, when you're looking at off-the-field storylines, and Greg Sankey laid a few of them out, what do you think is going to get the most talk? Is it the COVID conversation? Is it name, image, likeness, expanded playoff? Just what's going to get the most talk this week at SEC Media Days?
I think it might be split about COVID and how you're getting back into a normal routine and how bizarre and how different and how unique last season was because of the COVID season, because of all the cancellations, because of everything going on. And that's another thing Greg Sankey said. He said that, at some point, right now the position minimums and the roster minimums are still in place, but at some point they want to do away with that. Essentially what he's saying there is if, you can play, you play. If you have to forfeit, you have to forfeit. If you have to play with five offensive linemen, you'll have to play with five offensive linemen. Essentially, it's time to move on, kind of managing this area of COVID. But I think COVID's going to be a big storyline, obviously. And then I think name, image, and likeness. It's already been talked about a couple of times throughout here today, talking with Dan Mullen and Greg Sankey on what it kind of looks like and how it's, impacting and all that. And I think the more players and the more coaches that get up in front of a microphone, that storyline is going to continue to be brought up in name, image, and likeness.
Eric Kane is with us. Eric, project ahead to tomorrow at Media Days. What do you think will be the biggest conversation around Tennessee, or maybe what interests you the most tomorrow with Tennessee being there?
Yeah, just a new fresh start for Tennessee. Of course, there's going to be a lot of national media members here, some other reporters from around the SEC. That this will be their first time talking to Josh Heupel, talking to Velus Jones Jr. and Alante Taylor, kind of what the program looks like now. How is it different from the Jeremy Pruitt era? What about this offense? This offense, is it going to be this fast? Who's going to be your starting quarterback? Can you operate this offense? And there might be some investigation questions as well, maybe not to Josh Heupel, but maybe to the players in terms of is it a distraction and all that type of stuff. So I'm kind of looking at that. Of course, Tennessee coming out, they picked two really good guys that represent the team and really the conference very, very well. Velus Jones Jr., he loves playing in this offense. He called it a wide receiver's dream in spring, and so he seems like a very – great candidate to come and represent the team and Josh Heupel at the SEC Media Days. And, Alante Taylor, he's on a couple of different boards for the SEC representing the student-athletes, and he's going to be a good one representing Tennessee as well. So I think just the newness, what the program feels like, the culture, and, of course, the offense is kind of going to dominate the storylines for Tennessee here tomorrow.
Kaner, how many different ways have you thought up to ask and basically gauge who's in the driver's seat when it comes to the quarterback conversation? Do you have multiple ways you're going to ask? Or are you just going to come right out and ask what direction Tennessee's going to go with quarterbacks? Or just how do you see that conversation playing out?
Dude, I'm not even going to ask that tomorrow. I mean, because if there wasn't one at the end of spring, and I certainly don't think there's one right now, I don't think we're going to know anything. until these guys get in, you know, a week or two in camp, and you start seeing some separation there in a pecking order. There will be that question asked, obviously, because you have Harrison Bailey coming back, and what everybody saw was really, really good in the spring game. You have Hendon Hooker coming in. You have Joe Milton coming in, who's getting a lot of praise from around the, you know, around the country. So those questions are going to be asked. But not by me, because I'm going to wait until a couple of weeks into camp until we can actually see some separation there in the reps being taken at camp and practices.
Eric Haim from the Sports Animal is in Hoover with SEC Media Days underway. Tennessee will probably be picked to finish fifth in the East. One, do you think that's correct, that will be the predicted order of finish? Is that fair, if so? Fair for Tennessee to be fifth behind Kentucky and Missouri?
You know, it's hard to argue right now. You can make arguments. I mean, you really can. You know, Tennessee's got more players here. Tennessee's got more depth here. Tennessee has a better coach here doing this. But at the end of the day, you were 3-7. A lot of your best players left the roster. You don't have much to stand on right now. So I think Tennessee being picked to finish fifth in the East in front of Vanderbilt and South Carolina will be expected. Now, is that how it's going to finish? I don't know. Maybe not. Tennessee could very well win two of those games against Missouri and or Kentucky. Tennessee, it's going to be a late season matchup against Kentucky, as it always is. So a lot can happen, but I think it's fair right now, and I think that's probably what's going to happen come by the end of the week.
Is everybody looking at Georgia as a leader, like the people that you're talking to, leader in the SEC East? And do you think we'll be talking about them as the season goes on, you know, whether they're undefeated or one loss, playing for an SEC title?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Georgia above and beyond is going to – the conversation around here has been Georgia, you know, winning the East. You know, Florida's going to reload. Florida's got good players. Florida's got depth. Florida's coached very, very well. But you lose so much from that offense last year that was phenomenal. Georgia brings back so much. Plus, though it wasn't against great SEC defenses, you saw what that offense was capable of whenever JT Daniels came into the fold. So everything that Georgia has, I think it's a clear-cut pick to win the East. And then contend with Alabama, you know, from the West. I mean, I think Alabama's going to not rebuild, reload, kind of the same situation as Florida and the same situation it was in a couple of years ago and a little bit last year when having to replace Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. But Mac Jones comes in, and you saw what he does. Now, will Bryce Young be the same way? I don't know. We'll have to see. But I don't think anybody's ever going to doubt what Nick Saban's done, because he continues to do it year after year. So talk is going to be Georgia from the East, Alabama from the West, and who knows? We'll have to see if Georgia can take down Alabama and find a spot and do the college football playoff. I think that's kind of the preseason storylines going into the year.
Do you think JT Daniels will be picked as all-SEC first-team QB, and who would be your three best quarterbacks if you're filling out your ballot?
If I'm filling out my ballot, number one would be Matt Corral from Ole Miss. I just think from a numbers-wise, you know, just the sheer volume that you're going to see there. So Matt Corral is probably going to be number one. JT Daniels is probably going to be number two, most likely. And then, you know, maybe look at somebody else. You know, Will Rogers played towards the end of the year at Mississippi State. You know, he'll get a lot of run. Haynes King is going to step up there and play for Texas A&M, most likely. Could, you know, Miles Brennan step into, you know, kind of where he left off. So I think it's clear-cut number one and number two, for, in my opinion, it would most likely be, you know, JT Daniels and Matt Corral. But after that, it's kind of more of a competition and more of a discussion from there on out with a couple of guys, you know, names in the hat.
Eric Haim's with us. He's in Hoover at SEC Football Media Days as Sports 180 continues in Maryville today. We're at the Easy Stop. Stop by and see us here and register to win the Michelob Ultra golf cart on Hunt Road in Maryville. You know, if you think about it, Eric, there's a lot of newness to the SEC. Some of the coaches were there last year, but there was no Media Day. So more than half the league, more than half the league's teams are represented by coaches for the first time at Media Days. Last year's first-year coaches, and then four first-year head coaches this year, including Josh Heupel.
Oh, yeah, tons of newness here. You look around, as you pointed out, the league, and you got brand-new coaches coming in here and representing. You got Shane Beamer, who's going to be going today. Of course, Josh Heupel will be going tomorrow. You got Brian Harsin going you know, later on in the week, and Eli Drinkwitz, who was first-year head coach last year. You look at the players, too, that are representing the teams. I mean, there's only a couple of players that really stick out to you. You've got, you know, Stingley Jr., who will go later this afternoon, who's likely probably the best, you know, talented guy coming back defensively in the SEC. And you got Bo Nix, who's been the starting quarterback at Auburn the last 2 years. But it's been kind of a roller coaster, you know, ride from there. But he'll be representing. Of course, you got JT Daniels, you know about him. But there's not a whole lot of star recognition, and that's kind of across college football, and that is college sports. I mean, we know that because it takes some guys to get in here and play a couple games for us to get to know them and to become superstars. Not everybody is Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, but until we get to know them. But really, in the SEC, it's something we've been talking about in the starting lineup the last couple of weeks. A lot of turnover, a lot of fresh faces, and, hey, it's exciting. So maybe we'll get to know some of these guys here at SEC Media Days.
Does that make it a little lackluster with so many? I mean, you've obviously got superstars in this league with Saban and Jimbo and Kirby, and I would say Dan Mullen's on that level. But, I mean, does it, with so much turnover, so much newness, and maybe some guys flying under the radar, does that make it more lackluster, or does it just make it more appealing because you don't really know much about these guys? It's an opportunity to learn about them.
Well, I think it's, yeah, just like that, depending on how you want to look at it. Obviously, you know, Tua's not walking through these doors, okay? You don't have, you know, even a guy like Jake Bentley, who was here at last Media Days representing South Carolina. He was a veteran quarterback. It's a guy you knew. Daryl Taylor's not here for Tennessee, who's, you know, was one of the best pass rushers, you know, around the SECs. You know, I could go on and on and on. So I think it could be a little bit lackluster from that perspective because you don't have the name and the recognition. But also, again, some of these guys who are here this week very well could be those stars coming back again next year or stars that will be breaking out in week 3 and week 4. So I'm looking at it from a perspective that I know some of these guys in terms of I know the names, I know the positions, I know what they're about. Just seeing how they are behind a microphone, seeing what they have to say about the team and the culture and kind of about the years ahead. So I'm looking at it from that perspective. I don't know if I can speak for everybody, but I think it's probably kind of a mixture, just really just depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing and hearing what Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach have to say as their second-year coaches, but first-time attendees with their respective schools. Lane's been there before. It's quite some time ago representing another school from the SEC. Which one was that?
11 years to be exact.
Yeah, what? I think 12, right? 2009?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
12 years ago.
Sitting here thinking 2010,
We don't math. We just talk.
Yeah, it was Tennessee. Tennessee was the school. That's the answer to the trivia question. What can we look forward to? What's going on down there at Hoover? SEC Media Days coverage there, Eric.
Yeah, we got tons of stuff coming up. You know, starting to get in audio right now, putting it up on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, at Sports Radio WNML. Every piece of audio we get, we're going to put it up there. Jimmy Himes going to have tons of interviews here in Sports Talk coming up and a couple more hits throughout the day. So really looking forward to it. And of course, we couldn't be here without our friends from Harper Auto Square, UT Athletics, Fleet Tire, New Balance Knoxville, Waters Equipment, Hawassi Windows and Doors, Games and Things, and Eversil. Thank you so much for making our coverage possible down here at SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama.
Eric, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again before the weekends.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Eric Kane at the Sports Animal right here on Sports 180, joining us live from SEC Football Media Days. As Sports 180 continues in Maryville, we're at the Easy Stop, and we are out here thanks to Michelob Ultra. Stop by, register to win the golf cart set up right here next to us. We'll tell you about the great deals that are inside for you at the Easy Stop. Remember, Easy Pay can help you save, as we'll be here until 3 o'clock with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward, 656-9900 to join us on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Heather, having a great time in Maryville. We are here for another 40 minutes, a little less than 40 minutes, before Sports Talk will take over at the Easy Stop, thanks to Michelob Ultra.
Yes, make sure you get by because we are registering today for the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart Giveaway. And the golf cart is here, a beautiful club car in the Michelob Ultra paint scheme. Looks awesome. You can even sit behind the wheel if you want, see what it would be like to win this bad boy. All you got to do is get registered. We've got some Michelob Ultra swag to also give away today, some awesome bottle koozies, so you can come by. Get registered and save inside of the Easy Stop. They've got Red Bulls on special, 3 for $5 and 15 cents off, or 15 cents on your Easy Pay. You can take advantage of those great deals. They also have Ultra 8-pack of 16-ounce cans on sale for $10.99 and Bud Light 12-pack of cans for $12.99. So get by, and we've already seen a ton of people out here today. So thanks to everybody that has stopped by already. Can't wait to see some more.
What better way to start out the week than qualifying to win this bad boy, the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart, as we are here on Hunt Road at the Easy Stop, and we'll be here until 3 o'clock. Jimmy Himes with a note that Tennessee will conduct morning football practices this season. The exact times have yet to be announced, but they will do morning football practices, which is something I believe Josh Heupel did at UCF. I don't know if that was a full-time thing. I'd have to look more. I'm not totally sure. But yeah. Morning football practices for Tennessee instead of the spring.
I know Derek Dooley.
Excuse me, instead of the afternoon.
Yeah, Derek Dooley did it one time during his tenure. He explained the philosophy to me as we want to get these guys first thing in the morning when they're fresh, get them on the practice field. We'll end the day with film. So it's kind of like a 24-hour continuous cycle of thinking about football. You're waking up thinking about football. You're going to bed thinking about football, 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 football. I said, okay. We'll see what happens. And like I said, it was short-lived. He did it one season, and then I think that was year number two, and then went back to a regular schedule for year three. But I could be wrong on that timeline.
I'd have to go back, but I think in 2012 they had morning practice.
Was it 12? Okay.
So, I don't remember completely. So it was just one season?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
Just one.
Yeah, I was thinking they did it longer than that. But yeah, you might be right. So we'll see. I don't know. I think the bigger issue then was that the – coaches weren't that good. That was probably a big deal.
If
Josh Heupel has had some level of success doing this, so that would probably make you feel a little better, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. We'll see what happens. I think that class schedules, it's easier to schedule classes, I would think, in the morning.
I would think
so,
and
get all that behind you. Having been a college student a long time ago, you know, sometimes it was easier just to do the 8 a.m. class and then have the rest of the afternoon as free time or for practice, treatment, whatever. So, It could get interesting as you get into your major and classes are only offered at specific times.
Right. I would think that's true as well. Also, I'd be surprised if practicing in the morning or practicing in the afternoon really makes a big difference of how successful you'll be.
Has any sort of bearing.
Yeah.
I think it's good quality practice time whenever you get it in is the determining factor.
I'd say that's more important, which also means right here we probably shouldn't overreact to whichever way they're going to do it, but because the expectations from the fan base will remain the same.
The embarrassment's got to stop. Yeah. Let's talk about those expectations. Embarrassment's got to stop. You're going to have to start closing some gaps on some people. We can debate timelines on the upper echelon at some point, but you definitely don't. We kind of joked around earlier, but you don't want any sort of gaps between you and Kentucky and Missouri to develop over the next year. And then can you make a better brand of football than we've had to watch the last 3 years? I really don't feel like we're asking you to reinvent the wheel or do too much. Just, man, score some points. Let's have some fun. Let's go play some football.
Yeah, I think fans would like to see that. I saw this earlier today before we close out this segment of Sports 180. The most popular sports figures, the favorite sports figures in the U.S. And I saw this because with the Olympics starting up, Simone Biles has made a monster jump from 2020 polling. This is according to Morning Consult, the number one favorite sports figure in America, Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a very, very popular figure, having come from New England to Tampa. Number two on the list is LeBron James. Number three is not an American athlete. It's Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is number three.
Wow.
And then Michael Jordan, number four. How about that?
Really? Jordan still pulling top five numbers, hasn't actually played a sport in years.
How about that? Does that surprise you a little
bit? That does surprise me a little bit. But remember, we're post Michael Jordan documentary, Last Dance. I'm sure that boosted some numbers as people watched that multiple times last year without having sports actually on television. And still a huge brand name. So, yeah, that... It surprises me, but I can talk myself into believing it.
Yeah, and actually, come on, Josh. I was looking at summer 2020, so I need to update the name. So that was 2020. Excuse me.
Okay.
Jordan's actually moved up somehow, but Tom Brady's still number one. Michael Jordan's number two. LeBron's number three. There you have another debate. Last year, LeBron was two. Jordan's four. Somehow, Jordan passed LeBron, so he's number three. Simone Biles has jumped up to number four. That was the point of the story.
Yes.
That's why I was confused not seeing her name. Simone Biles is number four, and Lionel Messi has been replaced by another international soccer star. Cristiano Ronaldo is number five. So your top five in 2021, most popular, the top 10 favorite sports figures, top five, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Simone Biles, Cristiano Ronaldo. Jordan's also not the only retired athlete in the top 10. Peyton Manning is number nine.
How about it?
So Peyton Manning's still in the top 10 favorite sports figures. He has in a lot of commercials. You see him a lot. I'll just read 6 through 10. Pat Mahomes, Stephen Curry, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning and Serena Williams.
Okay, very cool. I would imagine, didn't Cristiano Ronaldo, he won like most goals scored in the Euro 20, like isn't that like a trophy or something that they pay attention to for Euro 2020? So I would imagine that's kind of why he got the pop this year over Messi.
Yeah, did he end up, because Portugal was knocked out fairly early, did he have the most goals?
I thought so, because there was a lot of people, I don't know, but now you're making me question myself, but I thought I read that, but there were a lot of people also knocking him because like he was scoring goals in just garbage time of games. And so they were basically saying, yeah, he's got all these scores, but they're of no consequence.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't keep track, so maybe he didn't up there. But he's very popular either way, so it's not a huge surprise to see Cristiano Ronaldo there. But top five in America, maybe that does surprise some people. But Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, they continue to get headlines. And some might be surprised to see LeBron there. Because of what you hear, don't forget he is a favorite among a lot of people, too.
Yeah, he's definitely a favorite. Maybe not some media outlets, but definitely for a lot of people that are actually watching basketball, people love LeBron James. But Simone Biles, you talk about getting some run on commercials. Man, she is everywhere right now, and they're great. And she's also tweeting out like previous photo ops, and the best one that I have seen is her and Shaq from several years ago. I think it was during her first run at the Olympics 4 years ago or 5 years ago now. And that is my favorite because she comes up to Shaq's waist.
Yeah, there's a difference in size. Different in sport requirement, too. You are correct. Ronaldo, top scorer. And I see this note from ESPN FC. The previous three top scorers at Euro had their team go on to win the World Cup 2 years later.
Oh, how about it?
Maybe a preview for 2022 with Portugal. We'll come back. Maybe not. Could be the streak broken. We'll come back here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. 30 minutes remaining, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock as we're at the Easy Stop in Maryville. We're out here with the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart. Stop by to register to win as we hit a midday Sports Minute on the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on day number one of SEC Football Media Days. We'll have more coverage this afternoon with Jimmy Heim set up there for Sports Talk at 3 o'clock in Hoover, Alabama. We're having a great time here in Maryville, Heather, on Hunt Road. We are here for another 20 minutes, giving you a chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart.
Yes, come by and see us. We're at the Easy Stop, and we have the golf cart actually here. This beautiful Michelob Ultra Golf Cart giveaway. We got this promotion running for the next couple weeks, so we're pumped. We're going to be out and about. So Blount County, you got about 10, 15 more minutes to get by and get registered today. We also have some Mick Ultra swag to give away, and you can save inside the Easy Stop. How about Red Bulls? They've got those on special, 3 for $5. Ultra 8-pack of 16-ounce cans on sale for $10.99. Bud Light 12-pack of cans on special for $12.99. And you can get 15 cents on your Easy Pay right now. So make sure you stop by and check out all the savings, not only in the store, but at the pump as well.
Take advantage. It's a great spot here, East Hunt Road, and we'll be here for another 20 minutes. If you're in the area, swing by, register to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart, which you can see for yourself right here. SEC Media Days coverage has begun. Heather, a big topic in college football and the NFL again today is vaccinations. I know that's a very popular topic that everybody agrees on when they discuss it. Six of 14 teams in the SEC have hit the threshold that they're looking for. Looks like Florida is not among them, but making progress according to Dan Mullen. But that is a topic, and it will be in the SEC. We hope to not see any forfeits, but that's a possibility this year. They won't be doing rescheduling, according to Commissioner Greg Sankey.
Yeah, there will be no rescheduling and no opportunity to test your way basically out of protocol. I mean, you're either going to be ready to go or you're going to really have to follow strict protocols, strict testing and all of that till you get to the 80% mark of vaccinations. And that's going on in the NFL, too. I saw Ian Rappaport point out 13 teams have 85% or more players vaccinated. 75% of players have at least one shot in the NFL. So that is definitely progress. But two teams are below 50%. So that's probably my Dallas Cowboys. Who else are you going with? Is that a Jets conversation or a Washington football team? Who would you like to label?
Well, the Jets are popular to pick on. You can look at you can look at different states and probably figure things out pretty quickly, I would imagine.
No states in the no professional teams in the state of Mississippi. So,
yeah, you can eliminate that one very quick.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be part of the ongoing conversation, and I would imagine that it would just be so difficult to navigate if you're unvaccinated and you're a player and you got to wear a mask inside all of the facilities and do all the different requirements, have more stringent testing. I would imagine that at some point the majority of these kids are going to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and a comment from Michael Irvin is getting a lot of attention today. As Michael Irvin said, if you're unvaccinated, that means you don't want to win badly enough. And that was more of a message to the professional teams, not the college teams.
Yeah, and I, you know, I see it on both sides. I also see a young population that's very unaffected by this disease. And so I can understand they've got a lot of life ahead of them. Why they might be more prone to skip the vax, because, you know, if they contract COVID-19, it really doesn't mean much for them in a detrimental health perspective. But I also see it from the team perspective. You're not playing an individual sport. You know, you are a member of this team, and what you're doing in your private life could affect what we're doing on a day-to-day basis and what we're all working for. So I definitely, you know, you just chalk it up to you got to make the best decision for yourself. But, you know, if you're playing a team sport, you really got to consider the vaccination hard, because, you know, you it is a sacrifice. You know, you want to be part of the team. Well, this is kind of almost a requirement to be part of the team.
If you're ready for the conversation to end, then you're going to be disappointed. It's not going away.
It's not going away. And I'm, you know, we'll see what happens with the Delta variant. You know, we've been following that, and now people that have been vaccinated can still contract COVID. I mean, they're finding out just so much stuff here recently. So it would be interesting to see, like, are we all in line for boosters or whatnot, and how the conversation changes. But yeah, you're right. It's not going away. I thought that there might be the ability this year to just stop testing, because most people would have reached herd immunity, but it doesn't look like that is going to be the case. So it does look like testing is going to be on the docket for the entire football schedule.
I'm going to reserve judgment or really holding a strong opinion until I can get to Twitter and Facebook later today.
Oh, okay. And then you're just going to unleash? Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are the people, just random people that I don't know on Twitter and Facebook is typically who I look to really form my opinion.
Yes.
So that's what I'm going to try to do, and I'll come back to you here in about 21 hours.
All right, let me know what you learned, because
sure.
I'm very fascinated.
I'll learn some stuff, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you talk about the fiery. You're gonna have all kinds of different opinions infiltrating your mind. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you what to do. I know what I did, and, you know, you just hope that you're protecting yourself the best way you can.
We'll continue here with the final segment of Sports 180 coming up. We have the Power Poll, our top five winners, top three losers from the weekend. We'll get you to Sports Talk at 3 o'clock. We'll get you more SEC Football Media Days coverage this afternoon. Day one of four as we wrap things up at the Easy Stop in Maryville. And we are here with the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180 as we reach the final segment of today's show. It's been a lot of fun here in Maryville. Thanks to everybody who has stopped by and said hello and signed up to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart. Of course, thanks to the Easy Stop for hosting and for Michelob Ultra for setting us up here.
Yes, we sure do appreciate it. We're going to draw our two qualifiers for the Michelob Ultra Golf Cart giveaway here in just a few minutes. But if you are looking for some ice cold beer either today or later on this week, right here at the Easy Stop on Hunt Road, they've got Ultra 8-pack of 16-ounce cans on special for $10.99. Bud Light 12-pack of cans on for $12.99. You could save at the pump 15 cents on your Easy Pay, and Red Bulls 3 for $5 inside the Easy Stop. Appreciate all the hospitality out here in Blount County today.
No doubt. We've had a lot of fun. We'll be out at Frazier's Carpet One tomorrow. Look forward to seeing Kevin Frazier and the crew. We'll have a lot of fun there on Western Avenue in Knoxville from 12 until 3.
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll hit back with SEC Media Days. It'll be Tennessee's day.
So yes, there's busy day tomorrow.
Yeah, there's just a lot going on. and a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I feel like SEC football fans should be on my winner's list because we're getting some SEC football talk today.
Yeah, love to talk football, and we'll talk a lot of football over the next few days. We'll talk about some of this off-field stuff. I mean, it's there, but what happens on the field is, of course, interest to the fans, should be, at least. What do we miss today? Anything? Didn't talk too much of the Open Championship. Did you watch a lot over the last couple days?
I did watch a lot of it, and you could just tell right from the get-go yesterday, man, Colin Morikawa, he was so calm, cool, and collected, and Louis was playing tight. First bogey on the front nine that he had all week. He hit that on four, and it felt shaky. Yeah. We didn't talk about Jordan Spieth finishing in second. I mean, what a comeback. Like, I mean, what a charge he had. Jordan Spieth is really starting to get over some of those, I guess, mental demons that were plaguing him over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's back to still a conversation around the Texas Longhorns, wouldn't you say, in terms of competing with the best?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's only going to be a matter of time, I think, before he has that big breakthrough win in a major. But, yeah, he's proven that, hey, whatever I've had to go through, it's behind me now. I'm going to be near the top, and you're going to have to start talking more and more about me when in contention for some of these big events.
Wait, am I wrong? Was he a Longhorn? Did he play at Texas?
I know Justin Thomas did. I think you're right.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then there
he's
you go.
He's from the state of Texas.
Yeah. So Texas is back. Jordan Spieth is back first. John Wilkerson is back. Getting ready for Sports Talk at 3 o'clock. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you guys are having fun. Sounds like you guys really are.
Yeah, no doubt. SEC Football Media Days also back.
Yep, you've got Florida, LSU, South Carolina sharing the spotlight. It's a scene, man.
I saw Jimmy sitting down with Ed Orgeron, head coach of the LSU Tigers, and somebody on the Sports Animal account captioned it, maybe talking gumbo. Somebody is just doing Jimmy's gumbo so wrong, bringing that back up to the forefront. But I'm here for it. I love it.
I just wonder if at any point in time during the conversation, Jimmy didn't slip into speaking exactly the same way that Ed Orgeron does. Is that right? That's right.
Well, there's Ed Orgeron joining us now. John Wilkerson with the impression spot on as we get ready for Sports Talk here in just a moment. Let's close out today's show with the Power Poll. All righty, we hit today's Power Poll. Quick fact check. Jordan Spieth, Texas. Justin Thomas, Alabama. I'm surprised Roll Tide Heather missed that one, but
I'm not.
Hashtag RTH.
That's right. I don't expect Heather to acknowledge that. Perhaps punch me at the end of the show, however. John, the weekend is behind us. Our top five winners, top three losers from the weekend. Would you like to lead us off?
Why, sure. Number five, the Yankees. They got their first two wins against the Red Sox this season. Needed help from Mother Nature to get that first day, but yesterday looked good as they dismantled them to win the. Number four, I go USA, beat Spain in their final for the Olympics. Number three, I will go Eric Almirola, as he got the win in New Hampshire. Big win for him, even bigger for Stuart Haas race win of the season. Number two, the Milwaukee, they were trailing in the finals, Josh, 2-0, and now?
Not.
And then number one, it is Colin Morikawa, as he wins the British Open, his second major. And he's won each of his major debut at the event, which is very impressive to me. Losers, honorable mention, very late to the party, but I just think we should mention Arby's every week as a loser until they potato cakes. What were they thinking? At number three, Texas, Longhorns. They got the big platform with the horns down. Goodness gracious, that's just ridiculous. Number two, all the quote-unquote alleged grown-ups that have gone on and on about Space Jam 2. The movie somehow was made for the vet. Hey, you hate LeBron. He's bad. Goodness gracious. And number one, the Phoenix Suns. They were leading the NBA Finals 2-0, and not.
Yep, and they could have won the series by now. It could be over. They could have won the championship with the leads they had recently, but John just explained that did not occur. Heather Harrington, your top five winners, top three losers from the weekend.
All right, in at the number five spot, I'm going to go with the Mets. Yeah, you won, but it still ended up weird. Like, I don't know what's going on with those guys, but they won, so that's all that matters. I'll put them in at number five. Number four, because of the power move we saw today and the comments that came out over the weekend, in and that will continue to come out. I'm going to say Power 5 commissioners are going to end up being big winners in the power struggle that is going on between them and the NCAA right now. So I'm going to go with the commissions at this point. Number three, I did put Eric Almirola. Two, I have the Bucks as well. And number one is Colin Morikawa winning his second major and just 25 years old. So kudos to him. Number three, I don't know if you guys have seen this before. They're trying to cut down on sexual encounters in the Olympic Village. So they've made teeny tiny beds. That was the solution that they came up with. So if you have to sleep in one of these teeny tiny cardboard beds, like, that just sucks. Chalk it up to more COVID Olympics. Number two is the Suns, because they did have a lead in the playoffs, and now they don't. And number one, and I hate to call him a loser, but man, just can't win. It's Louis. Bless his heart. The only PGA Tour win he has, as Josh pointed out earlier today, is his Open Championship.
Yeah.
So
he at least does have that, but you are correct. He did not win.
He did not win.
I put Eric Almirola.
So that would be loose Dathan, right?
That's right.
Oh, man. John Wilkerson. Sharp coming back from the break this past week. Also, my jealousy level is just peaking. I'm not coming up with that myself. Honorable mention on the winner's list, Eric Almirola. I have U.S. soccer with the 1-0 win 20 seconds in to the Gold Cup yesterday. That's all they needed. It was decided right there over Canada. Number four, Lionel Messi. Now, he won Copa America last week, but here's the real win. Forget Copa America and the international success. Almost 21 million likes on his Instagram post, the most liked sports photo in IG history. What else do you need?
Wow.
Now, there's some name, image, likeness opportunity. I have the Milwaukee Brewers, number three, with their big series against the Reds this past weekend. One-upped in their own city, though, by the Bucks, number two. And then Colin Morikawa, number one. Three losers from the weekend. War ready, wasn't ready in the first round of the basketball tournament. So they are out after the first weekend. That's no good. Louis Oosthuizen, number two, appropriately slotted, I feel like, although he was third this past weekend. And then the Phoenix Suns, they really blew a big opportunity on Saturday night. Now down 3-2, and it's going to take some doing to win the NBA Finals. That is the Power Poll. Top five winners, top three losers from the weekend.